And now, this evening, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. God's honor roll, the heroes of faith. There is not a more inspiring chapter in the matters of faith in all the 1,189 chapters of the Bible than Hebrews chapter 11. The heroes of faith. We shall read beginning at verse 1 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the gift that is unspeakable, that is indescribable, that we can never begin to tell about because it fills every volume that man could ever write. It goes beyond any measure that man could ever make, reaching even to the lowest hell, the highest heaven, the broadest sea, the deepest cave. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we are a part of the great program of redemptive work, and that Thou hast called us and placed us in Thy service. And dear God, it makes our hearts rejoice to come together around Thy Word. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. And may our faith be renewed with a fervor from on high. Fortify our faith, we pray, with a new fervor that we might meet the challenge of spreading the gospel around the world. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is a great deal said in the Bible about faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus declared to His disciples, there is but one object of faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Again, when the disciples came to Him and said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, in so many words, it is not the quantity of your faith, but it is the quality of your faith that counts. For if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Every day we exercise faith. Whether or not we are aware of it, we still exercise faith. My wife declares that she exercises real faith every time she gets in the car when I'm driving. Several people that I've carried out on visitation on Tuesday night always come back resounding a wonderful note on faith. They really made it back. I'm not that bad, but that's just the way they look at it. But at any rate, we exercise faith in something every day. Now, we can talk all we want to about how much faith we have, for example, in an airplane and the pilot. We can even purchase the ticket to manifest our faith. But until we step on board, then we have not really exercised faith. So people can talk about how much they believe and how much they think about God and how much they accept the fact that Christ has come. But until they are willing to exercise that personal faith in trusting their lives and their destiny and their future in the hands of God, they have not really manifested faith. Faith is the eye that sees the invisible. Faith is the ear that hears the inaudible. Faith is the hand that touches the intangible. When fear knocks at the door, faith says nobody's home. As long as our faith is established in God, as long as we believe Him and take Him at His word, we have nothing to fear. We can meet every day with all of its problems, with all of its difficulties, with all of its anxieties, with all of its fears, with all of the undercurrent of Satan. We can meet every day and be challenged by our faith to live a victorious life for Jesus Christ through our faith. Faith is an important element in our salvation. For Paul writes, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Paul writes in Romans 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Paul writes again in the book of Romans, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Whenever you and I doubt God, we sin against Him. Whenever we look carelessly upon the Word of God and the promise of God, we sin against Him, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Paul says here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith is the assurance, the confidence, is the title deed for the things that we hope for, and is indeed the evidence, the conviction of the things not yet seen. We walk not by sight, but by faith. If we walked by sight, there would be no faith. If we knew precisely and exactly how everything was going to come out, and precisely and exactly how every need was going to be supplied, then there would be no exercise of faith. But because we cannot see these things with a natural eye, because we cannot perceive these things with a natural mind, we accept them by faith. Look at verse 2. "For by it," that is, by faith, "by it the elders obtained a good report, a divine testimony." Verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We can never put God in a test tube and try to analyze or break down the component parts of God Almighty. But God has manifest Himself and revealed Himself, as chapter 1 in this book says, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read the Word of God, we believe. We don't understand how God made the heavens and the earth. We cannot comprehend all of the chemistry and the biology and the physics and the laws of science and the laws of nature that come in conjunction to make this earth do as it does, go about the sun, revolve on its axis. We cannot understand these things, how the world was made in the beginning, but we can, through faith, accept it and believe it, because God has said it. Now, if someone says to you, "But how do you know that you're a Christian? How do you know that you're saved?" You know, some people pray, "And now, Lord, save us all at last." Oh, how unscriptural that is. Beloved, we are just as much saved as far as our soul is concerned right now as we ever will be. How do we know it? "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's faith. God said it, we believe it, and that settles it. Through faith we understand, we believe, we accept the things that are gone. And then Paul in verse 4 begins to call the row, God's honor row, the heroes of faith. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh." You see, a man who has faith in God, when he comes to the end of the way, and breath leaves the body, and the heart stops beating, and the brain stops functioning, his works do not die. Here is a man by the name of Abel who offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God. And what was that sacrifice? The book of Genesis tells us that that sacrifice was a firstling of the flock It was a blood sacrifice. Man has never reached God but one way, and that is through a blood sacrifice. God has never come to reach man but in one way, and that's through a blood sacrifice. So Abel offered that sacrifice, and God testified to his righteousness because he offered the sacrifice of blood. He exercised faith in what would later be the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world through a bloody sacrifice. Verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now let me ask you, do you have that testimony? Do we in the 20th century have the testimony that our lives are pleasing before God? It was a man named Enoch who walked with God and was not, for God took him. The man who walked into heaven, Enoch. And you know, I believe that Enoch, being translated into the glory world and walking into heaven, not seeing death because he walked with God and was not, for God translated him, I believe that's just a token of every living believer when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. You know, one of these days we're going to start out to the job, or start out to school, or start out across town, and all of a sudden we are not going to be, because the great magnet of heaven is going to come and we are going to be translated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And everybody that's left behind is going to say, he was, but he is not, because he walked with God and has this report that he pleased God. I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uptaker. I'm not looking for a better and more stable economy, I'm looking for the one who has the wealth of all the world in his hand. I'm not looking for a better and finer and military might for our country. I'm looking for him who is to bring an everlasting peace to the earth. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of battle, the Lord of glory. A battle rages on tonight. In the Middle East, the picture is getting darker. The fires are getting hotter. That's all the more sure that we are coming to the end of this dispensation of grace. And the last conflict that shall transpire in this world will be there in the Middle East. And beloved, by faith, you and I are going to be out of the picture one of these days, because we'll be translated, even as our Sunday school lesson this morning. Our citizenship is in heaven. You are a citizen, as a human being, a citizen of the United States. Whenever you go out of the United States, you are a foreigner. Doesn't matter where you go, you're still a foreigner. You are a foreigner anywhere except at home. Beloved, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are foreigners and strangers and aliens in this world. We're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. God forbid that we would ever feel at home in this world. The person who feels at home in this world doesn't have the mind of Christ. The person who can feel at home in this world does not have the aspiration of being in heaven, because we are strangers and foreigners and pilgrims here just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who shall come and fashion our vile bodies like unto his own glorious body. Just like Enoch was translated, one of these days every believer will be translated. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible. It doesn't say it's unlikely or it's hard or it's difficult, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah built an ark by faith. It had never rained, but God said the floods are coming. And Noah built an ark, and the floods came. And Noah became the heir of righteousness by faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither or where he went. This is faith in action. When God calls us to do a job, we ought not to be so full of questions that we can't get the instructions. We're so full of doubt and so full of fear and anxiety sometimes that we don't give God a chance to give us the instruction. Abraham put one foot out into the desert, and God led him across the tracking sands of the desert all the way to the land of Canaan. Not knowing whither he went by faith. He walked by faith and not by sight. You and I do the same. Oh, so many times you've been called on to do things, and you couldn't see where it would come from, and you didn't know where the next step would be made, but you stepped out anyhow, and God put down a solid platform there, and you walked out on it because you exercised faith in God. Abraham did the same. By faith, verse 9 tells us he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham looked for something better. Verse 11 tells us that through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she had faith, she judged him faithful who had promised. And then verse 12, there sprang there even of one, that is of Abraham, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Remember I said a while ago that faith is the eye that sees the invisible. They did not receive these promises in a tangible way, but they saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God has prepared for us a city. We have no permanent dwelling place on this earth, but we are looking for and marching toward a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac upon Mount Moriah. Abraham was willing to offer Isaac, and just the same in his own mind did offer up Isaac, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He got him from the dead, so to speak, because Abraham was past the age of production, and so was Sarah. And Abraham believed if God was able to give them a child from their deadened condition, that he was able to raise Isaac up, if indeed he was offered on the altar of sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know what faith does? It eradicates fear. A while ago, I said, when fear knocks at the door, faith answers, nobody's at home. The parents of Moses had no fear of the king because they exercised faith in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By faith, when Moses was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith is the eye that sees the invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. Now the Apostle Paul gives a whole outline, a tremendous scope of all of the patriarchs of old. And the one thing he says about each one of them is that one lived or exercised or operated his life by faith. When they came down to the Red Sea, it was faith that caused them to put the first foot in, and then the waters were divided. When they marched around the city of Jericho, it was faith that took them around 7 times. And then the walls fell down flat. And on the story goes. And look what Paul says in verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The key that unlocks the door into the storehouse of God is faith. The thing that pleases God is faith. The thing by which we must make our stand is faith. I mean really believing what God said. Not just giving a mental assent to what we read in the Bible, but believing in our hearts that what God said he will do. Now let me ask you tonight, have you really faith that is born of heaven? Have you the faith to believe that if we will work together and pull together and pray together, we can build a Sunday school and a church that will be pleasing to God? Do you have faith to believe that we can send more missionaries to the ends of the earth? Do you have faith to believe that we can build a mighty testimony for Christ? Learning the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, instructing others in the Word of God? Oh, if we really had the faith, it's yet to be seen what God would do through us if we just said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we ask tonight that we might indeed exercise faith in thy word and faith in thy promise to believe that what thou hast said, thou art able to do. Dear God, we pray tonight that this membership, this representation of this membership here tonight, would be willing to join hands and join hearts, to be motivated by the same things, to think upon the same things, to act upon our faith, to believe that nothing is too hard, that nothing is too difficult, that nothing is impossible to those who believe. Dear God, I pray as the pastor of this people tonight that I might be able to launch out in leading this people to new and greater heights in Christ, to new and enlarged physical properties to house more people, to teach more people, to preach to more people thy wonderful word. May we, Heavenly Father, have that faith that would motivate us to say we'll send more missionaries around the world. May we have that faith to believe, Heavenly Father, if we'll put the first step out, the first foot, just make the first move in the right direction, that thou wouldst make the other moves alongside us. May we have faith to believe if we'll furnish the man or the woman, as the case might be, that thou wilt furnish the grace. Oh, may we have faith tonight. May the examples of those who have gone before inspire us to exercise faith in thee. And may we join together in prayer and join together in labor and join together in our resources to move forward by faith. Dear God, we cannot see on paper and with pencil. We cannot see by figuring it out how that we can go down and make these changes in the Sunday school. We can't see, Heavenly Father, how we can enlarge the auditorium. We can't see how that we can put more teachers to work and more missionaries on the field. But dear God, we believe it. And help us to believe it together as a whole body, that we'll be willing to put ourselves into it and have faith in action in these days of opportunity. And dear God, if there be one here tonight who has never trusted Christ, may that one come to trust him. If there be those who need to come for a prayer that their faith might be renewed, may they come. That their faith might be strengthened, may they come. If there be those who need to come and unite with our church, may they come. As we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.